Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Look at Beach Show. It's a Thursday. It's near the weekend. Let's get funky. Let's put on a track for all you ravers out there. I'm missing radio, Luke.
All over the instant sound.
Yes. You entertained some millennials in the office a little earlier on, the people who work for Kostakhanov, with a blast on the shared Bluetooth speaker of Zombie Nation. It was not greeted. Oh, that's quite a good impression. It's quite good. It's not greeted. Oh, that's quite a good impression. It's quite good. Well done.
One for all you ravers out there.
Awful song. Awful times.
I really wanted them to call for a rewind, but they didn't.
They did not. Yeah. Call for the P45.
I mean, you've made me out there to be an annoying, uncool, cringy kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fair? Are you standing by that?
Have you got anything to disavow us of that notion?
No.
No.
I've got nothing.
You got nothing.
I've got nothing to defend myself with. How are you? How's your week been?
I'm good. I'm on the verge of traveling to see my family in Japan.
Oh, yes, your secret family.
Secret? Well, not so secret. Started on the lots.
How many children you got now?
Little Jimmy. Sophie.
Why would you call them Jimmy? Well, sorry, where's that come from?
Well, you know, they look very much like me. So it'd be weird to give them Japanese names, wouldn't it?
Poor little lambs. So you're on your way to Japan later today, aren't
Ooh
you?
La la.
And the reason I know that is because you filled in the group diary wrong, which made me make plans for us to do something, and then you said you couldn't, then you got very obstinate about it, and then I corrected you saying you didn't fill the diary in properly, and then you backed down.
Well, I clearly set up that particular appointment quite late in the day, and the thing about the iPhone is it defaults to whatever time you set up the meeting. It just says right there. So have a bit of that. Have you ever shat out 5 pounds of thick gelatinous gummy bears out of your arse?
I wasn't expecting you to go that way with this, but carry on.
Have you ever pooped 5 pounds of gummy bears out of your bum?
5 pounds in weight?
Yes.
Why
are you thinking about it?
I famously don't really like chewy sweets.
Oh, do you not?
We talk about this every time you bring Haribo in, I'll tell you that.
When do I bring Haribo in? I'm not a Haribo man.
Some guys do, don't they?
Some guys do.
Some of the guys bring it in.
Some of the guys bring it in.
And everyone goes, oh, I love Haribo. And I'm like, I don't like it. Hurts my teeth.
It's your teeth. Yeah, How soft are your teeth?
Why is someone shitting out gummy bears?
Basically, there is a amazing market-leading toilet, a steel toilet that can never be defeated, a high-abuse steel toilet, and I am obsessed with it.
Right.
It can flush 5 pounds of gummy bears. It can flush 40 golf balls. It can flush anything you throw at it. It will flush.
Who made it?
I don't know.
And how did you come across it, so to speak?
I can't remember, but I put a link to it into my email, and I wrote the word lapse. The Metcraft HET toilet. You can basically flush whatever you want.
Is it available for general purchase? Can
I
you get it?
It is. Yeah.
No one wants a steel metal toilet in their house, do they?
They've filled it with 600 aircons.
600?
Yeah.
Oh, I like this toilet because it reminds me of when I was in prison. No one wants that in the toilet.
Look at that. Look at the state of it. And it's flushing. All the aircons have gone.
That's brilliant.
Have you ever seen anything more beautiful than that?
It's like when Alan Partridge goes on that barge.
Yeah.
Says, oh, pound of mashed up Dundee cake. One flush, all gone.
Perfect. You've got elderly
peace
elderly
of mind,
relatives.
I'm sure. Particularly if we're travelling with elderly relatives on board. What about this for a story? This caught my eye.
I want that toilet.
Yeah, I mean, how much is it? You found out how much it is?
It looks like I'd need infrastructure to support it.
Surely, because surely it's to do with the plumbing, pipes. Not just the toilet.
Well, no, because I think presumably the pressure would come from, now, I'm not a plumber, it will not surprise you to learn, sure it's the pressure of the water rushing past the U-bend rather than the pressure above, because gravity just takes that down, isn't it?
No, I think it's to do with the strength of the ball cock in the cistern, no?
No, all the ball cock in the cistern does is tell the valve whether to open or close. Because the ball cock just says, is this pool of water, is there enough water to administer a flush?
Right. And so that's off. What it is then. So it's the weight of the water above flushing it down. Yeah. So that's what you want. You want a massive tank above
you
it.
You want a lot of... No, well, yeah, you want that, or you want also the pressure of it going under. So, yeah, I don't know. How would I flush 500 acorns down a toilet, guys? Plumbers.
How can I
modify my toilet to
I've
do
been
that?
To houses of friends and family members, and I'm not going to name them a shame because it's not their fault.
Weak-ass toilets.
Yeah, and you've got to think twice about it, what you're going to do, how you're going to play it.
Bring a butter knife.
Nah, that's grim. It's just the fact that you've used the term butter knife that I don't like it. But you can't, you have to...
Cheese knife with a little porky bit on the end.
You have to... A whisk.
No, that's worse.
But if I said to you, you're going to go visit a family member, and make it more awkward. So it's going to be your significant other's family.
Yes,
for a weekend or whatever. And the toilet is like a 50-50 whether you're going to be able to flush a shit or not.
Yeah.
How are you approaching that situation?
Battery powered Nutribullet.
No, seriously, what would you do?
Do a little poop in one of them, pour it in.
Would you plan your shit so that if you go to out for dinner or for a cafe, you'd go then? You are someone who gets crippled by embarrassment. I'm bad, but you're worse than me.
I can't, yeah, but I don't poo that often, so it's never been that much of a problem. Though, as I get older, when it comes, it needs to come. It does.
It's non-negotiable.
It's non-negotiable. My body goes, Peter, I know we've not had this conversation in a couple of days, but now it's time, my friend.
And so how would you approach it?
What do you mean?
You're just going to risk it? You're going to risk it for a biscuit?
Risk it for a biscuit. Just get it out.
And what happened if you did block the toilet? Would you go and speak to the owner of the house and say, I'm sorry about this?
I've never blocked a toilet. It was not... you just get your hand out. Get your hand... Pull out the...
That is... People are listening to this.
What do you mean?
You don't put your hand down the toilet.
Well, how do you clear a blockage of a
plunger.
Toilet? Well, if there isn't a plunger?
They should be providing the plunger if they know their toilet's bad.
Exactly. Yeah. So if they haven't got a plunger, they've only got themselves to blame. Attack it with a plunger.
If you haven't got a plunger, you've only got yourself to blame when there's a man who belongs on the fringes of our society walking around your house with a shitty hand.
Yeah. Well, I wash it after.
Your fault? Are you going to wash it? No, I'm not going to wash it, actually, because it's your fault.
Get your plunger.
Yeah.
Buy a plunger before you need it, not when you need it.
Get in touch.
Best advice.
Hello at lukeandpeacher.com. Get in touch. Let us know how you approach that tricky, thorny social issue. But I was going to say, before we got sidetracked by that, that I read on the BBC website in Wales, a public footpath that cuts through the middle of a naturist campsite is finally to be rerouted. It runs alongside 15 caravan pitches in Carmarthenshire. And after a process that lasted the best part of 2 years, the existing public footpath will be blocked and a new route will be introduced. And the woman who runs the campsite with her husband, Mike, Joe and Mike, the naturist campsite
Mike,
runners,
the nudies.
We're relieved it's over and done with and the path's going to be diverted. What do you think about that, Pete?
What do you mean?
Well, public footpaths are a very old and ancient part of British life, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I think they date back hundreds of years. You can't... there was famously one that went through Sting's house.
Oh, really?
Through his garden.
Yeah.
And people were just... Obviously, because they want to piss off Sting. Who wouldn't? Mm. People just kept walking through it and he got pissed off.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can do about it because the law, I think, supersedes the kind of housing thing.
Yeah.
So...
I like that.
Yeah, I do as well. I quite like it. But what would you do if you were a naturist and people kept walking through.
Do you want to be seen or do you not want to be seen?
I just take my clothes off, walk through it. They wouldn't know who you were, would they?
Surely the naturist, surely that footpath has been there longer than the naturist have decided to get their bollocks out.
Yeah, so why should they change it? Yeah.
But I mean, presumably a naturist, that you're not embarrassed by the things that you're doing.
Yeah, I don't really understand
unless you're a naturist who's wearing clothes and then you're just embarrassed by the idea of not keeping up your end of the bargain.
What I would do is I'd probably just unzip my flies.
Yeah.
As I'm walking through, flip the old cock and balls out.
Yeah.
Say, look, I'm one of you guys.
I'm one of you guys, but I've got business to attend to.
But did nature?
I'm off to a wake.
Did naturists not want people who aren't naturists to see them because they're not part of the swindle? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know how naturists, deal with life. It seems slightly childish to me, the whole kind of thing.
Is it a bit like drug takers? Like, so basically, if you're in a room with a lot of drug takers, they want to be around, presumably they want to be around other drug takers.
Yeah. They want to be around other nudists.
So do they think that clothed people spoil their vibe?
Yeah, I would say so. But don't build your little caravan park next to a footpath.
And what happens if you found yourself into a situation where it was all naturists? Would you just get involved?
Yeah, I'd get involved.
Yeah.
Bit of a giggle.
Chat about your tattoos.
Chat about my tattoos.
You famously have trouble getting your trousers off, don't you?
The lizard. I've got rather large calves and rather tight trousers.
Trousers, exactly, yeah. Apparently, in the great bit of local journalism, BBC reporter interviewed several people lived next door to the campsite who said they had no problem at all with the naturists.
No.
I bet they didn't. Perverts.
Yeah, but naturists are never a fine figure of humanity, are they?
One of the people interviewed was the same bloke who Fiona emailed in about on Monday.
The guy sat eating snacks.
To be honest, it saves me a job. I just have to look at my window.
It's the snacks I don't get.
Yeah, what snacks are appropriate for that situation?
Do you eat when you
refrigerators.
Get down to... I'm never doing the same. If I'm jerking it, I'm not eating. It's not happening. It's a completely different headspace.
There's nothing to suggest he was jerking it.
Why is he sat in a chair looking at a lot of 18-year-old girls in a house?
Oh, it's a question you often...
Come on now.
It's a question that often gets asked.
Come on now. Maybe who's eating lasagna then?
Yeah, ready meal. Take your plastic with you.
Who's eating a full tray of lasagna then? Disgraceful.
There is no appropriate meal for that situation.
No, disgraceful. Do you reckon he's just trying to throw people off the scent? This is where I like to eat my...
Banana. Vol-au-vents. One other story that caught my eye just before we get on with this whole nonsense is in Spain as well. This is a story that came out a week or two ago. In Spain...
Someone flushed a lot of aircons down a toilet.
Yeah, to a...
Blocked.
A naturist toilet.
Well, when I was in Seville, a lot of places still have that old hustle where you can't put the toilet roll down the toilet.
Oh, lots of places.
Tedious.
In Greece, you can't either.
Tedious. Sort your pipes out, guys.
In Greece, you can't do it. Can you drink the water in Spain, though?
Yeah. No, nowadays you can.
They don't advise that in Greece either.
Okay.
I thought it was an EU thing, like the EU had brought it up to standard, but
right.
Not everywhere, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway, in Spain...
do you know where the most delicious water is?
Iceland.
Plain toilet. No, train toilet.
Oh, God. There was an interesting story about that.
So brackish.
A farmer in Nebraska recently, I think he either gate-crashed the meeting or he was invited to the meeting or something, and he found a committee... or a local, or the council who had signed off on fracking in the area. And he was against it for lots of different reasons. And he said to them, would you drink water that's been contaminated with the runoff of fracking? And they obviously were like, yeah, no worries. Of course I would. It's been fine. It's been found to be fine. And he was like, oh, good news. Cause I fucking brought some with me. And he poured it out and gave it to them.
Cool.
And it was all,
it's like flammable, isn't it? Some of that stuff.
Yeah, it's horrendous. There's pictures of people being able to light their taps on fire and stuff. So good on him.
That'll be coming. That'll be coming. Don't you worry about it, guys.
Yeah.
We're
on the fast train to that, baby. Anyway, I was going to say in Spain, in the Balearic Islands, they've just passed a law banning pub crawls and happy hours in the Balearics.
Yeah, they've made their money, haven't they?
And...
It's an attack on the nighttime economy.
But isn't that a weird thing? Because I know people from lots of nations, Britain firmly included in that, go over there and behave appallingly.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that a large proportion of people there don't behave that badly. I mean, I've been there a few times and I didn't commit any crimes or anything.
I've never been on a booze cruise. I've never been on like a pub crawl, rather.
Right.
I don't think I've ever been on a pub crawl.
Which is weird for you, because you love moving quickly.
Yeah, I know, it's ideal for me. But I mean, I've never been in a pub crawl I can drink my own beer. I can create my own problems.
Yeah, true. So you're a one-man pub crawl.
I'm a one-man pub crawl.
But do you think it's interesting they've banned it? Because presumably they make quite a lot of money. So it's a bit of a deal with the devil, isn't it?
Well, it's like 20 years. It's like when the people of Holloway Road started buying up property and moving into property, and they made all the nightclubs close down. That used to open until 3 or 4 in the morning. It's like,
you talk about Big Red.
That was no. It was like kind of like sort of dance hall, kind of like reggae nights and stuff on the Holloway Road, and they closed them down. And it's just really annoying because it's like, well, you knew that has existed for a lot longer than you've owned that house, a lot longer than you've rented that house. Annoying.
Yeah. Is it like that though?
What
is it similar?
What do you mean?
It's not similar, is it?
Well, presumably. They've been doing this for the last 25 years.
But I think what's happened is local people have just decided they're too fed up of it.
Right.
So free bars, adverts for alcoholic drinks are also forbidden, along with alcoholic vending machines.
Are they not? Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Are they not part of it, though? Are they? Presumably a lot of them will be employed by the same bars.
Yeah, it's weird. And also shops apparently selling alcohol in Ibiza's West End and Playa de Palma in Magaluf must close between 8:30 at night and 7 in the morning. Yeah, do any business?
But that should be, who buys beer from a thing from a shop like that?
We're not all independently wealthy like you, Pete.
No, before they go out, like you buy that before you go out. That's walkie beers. So you buy them before you walk out, and then you hit the bars.
That's the famous deal, Glen Roder.
They all walkie what?
Glen Roder, one for the road, isn't it? walkie beers, shower beer. Where do you rank them in the thing? Where's walkie beer compared to a shower beer?
Shower beer is the lowest of the low.
No, I love a shower beer.
Behind only, you can't have a shower. You can't have a beer in the shower with you. It's not. You're going to a stag do later on in the year. Are you going to be drinking in the shower?
No, because this is only a one. This is one day. This is the perfect stag do for me. It's a one dayer, all dayer. It's a Mikey Rayer.
Grow up.
A Leo Sayer.
You can be asleep by 9.
Only in the Walthamstow district of London. Where there's some lovely pubs, and I cannot stress this enough, I will be home and in bed by 8 p.m.
Pathetic.
Yeah. I won't turn up till 4 p.m. That's a perfect standing for me, but I'd love people to email in, and we'll have a little break in a minute, and we'll come back and do some emails, and we'll set some more homework. But I would love people to email in ranking the types of beers. Now, I don't mean the brands of beers. I don't mean like a Pete Donaldson. I'm a Heine man. I don't mean that. I mean the
I'm a
types...
Boy.
The ways you drink them. So your shower beers, your walkie beers.
Can I interest you in an empty 4 pint of milk, washed out, filled with orange juice and some Glen's vodka? That's down there for me.
You just described Friday night in the Donny household.
For a long time, that was my Friday night.
Other
with friends. Let's
other types of beer.
Clear.
A football beer. Having a beer at the football.
Having a beer at the football, yeah.
A Christmas Day beer.
Not a pleasurable beer, though. You're having to drink it in like 10 minutes maximum. You're having to absolutely wolf it down.
Unless you're in non-league, mate.
Unless you're in non-league.
You can drink it in front of... Yeah. That's, I heard
you can,
that.
You can take a dog in.
Yeah, you can. There was a lot of consternation around, I want to say Bromley, last time I was there. I overheard a few old boys complain that if the team got promoted, they would no longer be able to drink beer in the little bar bit in view of the pitch.
What's the point?
Want it to happen.
What's the point?
That is a shame. Why are you stopping an old man having a nice beer watching the football?
What do you think? The only people who should drink are they have to be over 45.
Beer on a plane, another one.
No,
bring that
too
in
fizzy.
You
too
love a fizzy,
fizzy
lager.
Yeah, we don't like it on a plane. I'm a tomato. Bloody Mary or a sake.
Airport beer.
No, never.
Some people love
waste
an airport
of time.
Beer.
They start so early, Luke. I don't like it.
Get in touch with us. hello@lukeandpeacher.com, and we can build a definitive list. Shower beer, airport beer, walkie beer, hospital beer. Let's have a break, and afterwards we'll do some emails.
All right, then.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With the right equipment, you can make your own sausage at home.
Make your own sausage at home?
Why not?
If someone broke into my house with a machete and said, look, I'm going to slice you a new one, Pete, if you don't make me a sausage.
Yeah.
The only thing I could possibly make is make some super noodles, jam it in a condom. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
My house is so bereft of meat products or any products.
Yeah,
it would have to be super noodles in a condom.
So that is, again, quite depressing. I don't subscribe to the thing that we used to do when I was a kid, where you do your shopping on like a day and it lasts you for the week, because I don't really know what I'm going to be doing day to day.
No.
I normally buy the food on that day, then cook it. So I wouldn't have any meat left. If a sausage terrorist took me around to my own house now and said,
make a sausage,
I'm holding you hostage so you make a sausage.
No corned beef, no spam, no kind of tinned goods.
Probably going to have to do some kind of porridge oats type thing.
In a condom.
With yogurt.
Oh no, that's the worst.
Yeah.
If you went, so there's a bit of homework. If you went to your cupboard right now, what would be in your sausage and how would you make it?
Yes!
Come on.
Love that. I'm typing that up. I'm typing that up.
An old pipe.
Let's do the homework now.
A pipe filled with just smashed up prawns.
How would you make a sausage using only the items
in your cupboards
you currently have in your house?
Nice.
It's got to be edible.
Got to be edible.
It has to be edible.
Yeah.
And I also want to set you the homework, you guys, before we get into emails, of what is your going to bed / bathroom routine, and is it out of the ordinary? Tell us about it. I don't want you emailing in hello@lukeandpeacher.com just going, oh, I wash my face, or I brush my teeth when I get into bed. Mm. What are the things you have to do? What do you do every night? Or you lie in bed thinking, oh, damn, I didn't do it, and you have to go back and do it. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, mine's mainly asthma related.
Oh, yeah?
I'll usually go to the washing machine and realise I've left a lot of washing in there. Thing, I'll do that tomorrow morning.
I hate that. Yeah, I hate
it's the
that.
Worst. It's the worst feeling.
You can't,
world.
And the only options you've got, get it out or have to wash it again. Because it's going to stink the next morning. It'll stink the next morning.
No. Just don't open the, do not open the thing and it's hermetically sealed. So you've got about a day's grace before it starts to absolutely cinnamon pongle.
Like some kind of laundry sarcophagus.
Yeah. Just don't open it and it doesn't hit the air and the microbes don't start going wild.
Do it for long enough. When you open it up, get diseases.
Get diseases.
That's where they found King Tut.
Did somebody get diseases when that happened?
Yeah, I believe so. So when King Tutankhamun's tomb was found.
Do you reckon they're just fucking about though?
Well,
do you reckon that's what they told the wife?
Well, what happened was,
honestly, dear.
Yeah. What are you
doing? Tutankhamun gave me HPV.
You're getting a bit of necrophilia action.
Yeah. I'm not saying they had sex with a corpse. I'm just saying he may have philandered.
Oh, okay, right. Well, the story as I understand it, they found it, King Tutankhamun's tomb in the Valley of the Kings.
Tutti's tomb.
They opened it up. Mm. I think this is in about the 1930s, so it'd been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, look at it, it's mad, it's the most amazing tomb we've ever found, et cetera, et cetera. And then people started dying. And so they instantly thought, it's a curse.
Right.
But I think it was like a load of diseases. Yeah.
Coughs and sneezes spread diseases, plus Tutankhamun.
Loose lips sink ships. I'm actually going to see King Tut in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah? What's he up to?
Yeah, he's on tour again.
Is death hat mask?
Yeah, I want to say British Museum, but I'm not sure.
Are you sure you're not going to be visiting Deluxe Paint 3?
I can check my calendar.
Cool.
Hang on.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Do you want
when
to get
is Luke going to be looking at the death mask of King Tut?
Definitely not next weekend because I'm going to for lunch with some friends. When is it? It's not the 18th, 15th. That's a spa day.
You criticise me for not putting anything into this show, and you're just reading out your calendar.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, I'm going
we didn't even get it. No. We didn't even get the calendar.
You do an email and I'll find it.
Fuck me. Fuck a duck.
Do an email, for God's sake.
I was concentrating on the excitement of your bloody calendar. I can't get it. The toilet's up now. Here we go. Right then, we've got an email from Mark Ogden, harking back to a previous subject. A long-time listener to the show and the Ramble. I went to the Ramble live show in Manchester last year. That was a good date. Just checking in with a Gladiator update. This email is about Ace, real name Warren Furman.
Right.
He made a guest appearance in a morning assembly at a primary school my mum works at. This is late January 2020, recent Gladiator sighting.
Can't believe we're still doing Gladiator. Yeah. You saw Ace the Gladiator in 2020. How would you even recognise him?
I don't know, but a short clip of him in action was on the hit show, was played moments before he walked out. Turns out he's now a devout Christian, good friends with a priest in the local area. Warren then proceeded to put on a suit of armour, and after giving some kids plastic swords, he then instructed them to softly strike him across the armour. The lesson was that the power of God can deflect the pain inflicted by others, apparently.
Oh, geez, tedious.
For some kids, it was all too much, and they started crying, and they were taken out one by one. It seems the Lord can work in mysterious ways.
I don't mind if people like God, but I don't want to be hearing it.
He dated Katie Price and worked as a construction manager.
I want to hear more about that.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear your painful metaphors about...
I want to hear about some sharp sand.
There was an amazing, and I do mean amazing, long read in The Guardian. I read it yesterday, so it might be a week.
Did you put it in your calendar?
Put it in my calendar, yeah. About the a massive, massive scandal rocking some of the earliest papyrus scrolls, copies
More Egypt.
Of the Gospels,
right?
Allegedly by a scholar at Oxford University,
right?
They found there was there. Some I'll link it up on the Twitter, but some archaeologists dug up a load of like an old town,
right,
dated from like the first century or something, AD, and found an absolute treasure trove of all these old manuscripts, and it had gospels, old poems of hitherto undiscovered sort of first print kind of things on papyrus of like these famous Greek poets and all the rest of it. Anyway. There's so many of them that to be categorized and studied, and it's a really difficult thing to do, apparently, because sometimes you only have a little bit of papyrus about the size of a postage stamp with a little bit of ancient writing on it,
yeah,
and you've got to try and decipher it.
Jeez.
And what's happening is there's a company in the US called Hobby Lobby who do a load of, as you can imagine, like craft type stuff on the high street, but they're owned by a very religious family who are collecting as many artifacts of religious significance as possible to put in their museum.
Mm.
And they're trying to buy these things up. But then the original society found them and saying, no, they need to be looked after and kept and all the rest of it and studied.
Right.
And there's talk that a certain number of scholars are selling them. Because there's so many of them,
yeah.
They're just selling them and saying, oh, couldn't find that one kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing scandal. It's rocking. And the reason it's so interesting...
Rocking archaeology.
Yeah, because you don't feel like they're the type of people who would be doing that kind of thing.
No.
They're like academics, and you think of them as having a scarf around their neck and having a beard and being very nice. You know, maybe a bit pervy. But that's it. You know? So anyway, it's worth looking
really?
At. I'll share that on the Twitter. Mm.
And if anyone would like to buy some papyrus...
Yeah.
Hello@resilientbeatshow.com.
You can make some. Mm. This is an interesting email from Max from
Bristol.
Teabag
on a bit of A4.
Put it in your sausage.
Put it in your sausage.
Max has emailed saying, emailing re last Monday's show and the mysterious note found after attending the Boomtown Festival.
Oh, yes.
Because it reminds me of a note my dad received over Christmas. The attached message was posted through the door a couple of days before Christmas, and neither my dad or stepmom have any idea who sent it or even who the accused person is.
Right.
For added context, they live in a tiny, tiny village in literally the arsehole of nowhere and have lived there for 15 years. So how someone got their address is very odd. And the attached letter, I'm going to try and find it, is... Bear me a second. I didn't have it up here. Now I've lost it again. Here we go. Yes, it's the attached message is this. Right. I'll just read it as it's written. It's,
yep.
It's typed.
Yep.
So there's no handwriting to analyse. It says, Rob... I don't think Max Dad's called Rob. Rob, not sure if you see my other notes, so I've written again to tell you that your Mrs. Mel has been shagging Mark Walton.
Oh!
It's been going on for ages. Me and my missus are fed up of her taking the piss out of you. They've been seen together loads of times and they don't care.
So
Max is in Bristol. So it's in Bristol.
So they've got the wrong house.
Yeah, and the wrong name.
I would at least do a little Facebook search about that.
So they live in Max lives in a little village, or he lives in Bristol. His mum and dad live in a little tiny village in the middle of nowhere. And they
type it up, stick it in the newspaper, stick it in the local paper.
If you can solve it, then
solve the question.
Hello at lukeandpeach.com. And before you do one, Pete, I just want to do this email as well, which is from Andy, who says, very much enjoyed the Bob Hawke chat. Remember Bob Hawke, the blue plaque, sculling of the Isle of Ale?
Yes, okay.
And he went on to become the Prime Minister of Australia.
Yes.
Well, we've got an email here from Andy who says, sadly, Bob Hawke passed away last year. However, you will no doubt be pleased to know that his appetite for sculling beers remained undiminished into his later years. I'm sure others would have sent this in, but here is a 70-plus-year-old Bob Hawke necking a pint on YouTube. Now, I'm going to play it to you. I'm going to put it in perspective. Bob Hawke, ex-Prime Minister.
He looks very old in this.
He's over 70. he's at a cricket match between Australia and India, and a random person grabs him when he's walking up the steps and asks him to down a pint of beer. One for the country, Robert. Hands him a pint in a plastic glass. Gets it down himself. And listen.
The crowd goes wild.
There might be a more typical Australian scene than that, but I have never seen it.
Watching an ex-Prime Minister skull a pint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One for the country, Robert. One for the country. He doesn't even falter, doesn't waver, doesn't even think about it, just does it. Hand a pint to Boris Johnson, what would he do?
I reckon he'd probably do it, because, you know...
Actually, he's not even the ex-Prime Minister. Hand it to John Major.
Oh, I don't want to do this. I think everyone would have a go.
Would you ever go?
May wouldn't do it.
No way.
No way, May.
No way would she do it.
She'd never slam it.
All right, good. Cool. That was interesting, wasn't it?
Lee Russell, quick one before we chip off. Long time listener, first time email. Just been catching up and you guys wanted a local story. This is from The Gift That Keeps On Giving, Kingsbridge on Facebook. A local man, who I must say is a crazy person, flipped his car on a bend, which is 3 to 4 miles away from the sea down here in South Devon. The police turned up to block one side of the road in order to move the car, and questioned by the police as to how he'd managed to flip his car. He told them that he swerved to avoid a squid. Safe to say the man had been on the Sweet Mary Jane, aka PD's herbal vape.
Yeah. Calamari, you believe it.
Calamari, you believe it. He was a real sucker.
It's not really going to wash that, is it?
No.
It's not going to wash.
Really not, no.
That's enough for us for this week. Reminder of your homework. How would you make a sausage using only the items you currently have in your house?
Yeah.
And your going to bed / bathroom routines. Tell us about yours. The weird and wonderful, the best, the better, but don't make them up. Make them believable. Hello at lukeandpeach.com to get in touch about that and anything else. And we are at Luke and Peach on Twitter. You can leave us a review on iTunes whenever you like. That would be helpful. Have a great weekend.
Smashing weekend. Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him,
Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house? How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.